This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here in San Francisco with CollabNet.
Hi, my name is Flint Brenton, and I'm the president and CEO of CollabNet, and I'm very glad to be here.
You're one of the leading companies in DevOps. Can you give us an idea of what DevOps means to you?
DevOps is essentially automating the process of once you complete a build of a new software project, that you automate the process to put it into production. And there are several ways that you do that. It gives the end user, the consumer of the software developed, a variety of ways of consuming that software. So this is all about bringing, particularly in the world of agile development, putting the R and the ROI of agile development. Because once you build it, you want to get into production as quickly as possible.
One of the dangers of getting anything into production quickly is quality, its security, its safety of whether the product should be there or not. Does it integrate? Agile has a whole set of mechanisms to make this happen, but they do rely an awful lot on automated processes. How mature are you seeing the DevOps market at the moment in not just pushing software faster to operations, but in automating that push and making sure that they hit all the right metrics?
In a typical corporation, whether it's an enterprise or a small, medium business, or in some cases, even a governmental agency, the maturity level is still relatively low. It's changing rapidly, but most companies are beginning to realize that they've made quite an investment in tools and processes that they're not able to monetize properly. And monetizing properly goes beyond automation. Automation is clearly a key, but not only automating the process, but getting visibility into the process, securing the process, and then making sure that the integration is done with other components of where your app will run so that when it's deployed, it works immediately. And then having the ability, if there's a problem with once an application is deployed, being able to trace the root cause of who created that code, when was it checked in, what process did they use, so that you can provide feedback to the developer to make it better the next time. So there's an emerging process, like you see typically in enterprise IT. It's going through a maturation process pretty rapidly, but those are the steps that enterprises and agencies and small businesses are now discovering have to be put into place so the science of software development and the art match.
All of this is process-driven, and the challenge for a lot of organizations is that processes are static objects. Once we start to increase the cadence of software delivery, processes have to adapt to the business. They have to adapt to what we're producing. They have to adapt to the business requirements. That dynamic process approach is quite challenging for a lot of companies as they come to DevOps. They still think about processes as a big rock, almost, in the road they've got to work with. Are you seeing companies begin to look at their processes in DevOps and say, actually, we'll define the process within DevOps so that we know we have this flow, and then we'll push that process back into the business rather than the more traditional other way around?
Absolutely. Well, what you see is an emergence of several solution providers, such as Pivotal Labs, that help you define that process that you use to develop software and implement it properly. The most successful companies, most successful enterprises, have now come to the realization that, to your point, they have to define the process around the automation to deploy applications into production, and they have to have the tools in place and the training of people who use those tools in place before they really go deep on investing in Agile, or else they're never going to get the return on Agile. So it used to be start with Agile and then figure out DevOps later. Now the most mature enterprises are saying, let's get our act together on DevOps first and basically define the process and the ways we're going to execute that process to control it. Then let's double down on Agile. Let's make sure the processes we provide for Agile meet the needs of our business. Most people don't start there. They experience the pain and the agony of not doing it the right way, and they realize that they spent the money, but they're not getting the benefits.
How fast is it tearing down those silos between development and operations? Because in effect, we're looking at two different groups of processes here, and at points they conflict. For much of the 35 years I've been in the business, software development do their thing, they throw it over the wall. As far as they're concerned, it's no longer their problem. Operations then try and put it together, but when it doesn't work, they've tried to create other channels to almost push fault backwards rather than work as a single team. Are you seeing a better understanding that a process must span both groups of people? And are you seeing coherence and integration between them? Or are we still building two sets of processes and finding a way to sort of match them together?
Great, great question. So I'm going to tell you a short story. So when I started my career, I worked in manufacturing. I grew up in the Midwest, and I worked for a great manufacturing company that was unionized. So in a union, everything is siloed, and there are logical and physical lines between departments. And if you are paid according to a union contract, there are certain things you're required to do, there are certain things you're not required to do. If you will only do, usually, what you are required to do and what you're paid to do, that's the expectation that your contract sets forward, the expectation you have to live up amongst your other union members who are your peers. So people generally did not go beyond the boundaries of their own job. Ultimately, what happened, which drove a lot of manufacturing in the Midwest to the south, a portion of the U.S. which was not unionized, as well as other countries, is the fact that it was just way too expensive to have these silos that weren't efficiently working together. It became a showstopper, and it drove the cost of manufactured goods to the point where they were no longer competitive. IT and many companies historically, although they're not unionized, they do have silos. There's a team responsible for development. There's a team responsible for testing. There's a team responsible for operations. In a traditional model, it's very difficult to maintain the maximum return on investment and the maximum quality or value for an employee or a shareholder with that strictly bounded set organization. What the most successful enterprises and small businesses have discovered is they can have someone who they're on their paycheck and may say, I work in operations, but they have teams, virtual teams that span all departments that are focused on one application class. So the same team cares about agile planning, requirements, building out that software, putting it into a tracker as you have issues, storing in version control as they check it in and out as they work on it, and then going through a build process that's automated, going through a deployment process that's automated. They view the end consumer of that software project that's being built out as their customer. And they work as a unified team to make sure that they optimize in each step, but each step flows together flawlessly. So then you have lower costs, higher quality, higher value, but most importantly, the time to value is short. I see a transformation going on like that in enterprises and small businesses throughout the world. It's a process. You asked me earlier about maturity. The more mature companies, regardless of size, have come to the realization that they need to view the consumer of that software development project as a customer, and everybody's lined up to make that customer happy. I think it's working quite well for the companies that have embraced this ownership model that crosses departmental lines and focuses on delivering the best outcome for their customer for lowest cost, highest quality, and shortest time to value.
That's very interesting because I also work as an analyst for Creative Intellect Consulting, and we've been doing some research over the last few years. What we've seen around DevOps, actually particularly from small teams, is they're used to being multi-skilled. Therefore, the idea of sitting in multiple parts of that flow doesn't frighten them. We're also seeing from some banks that they're beginning to now say to their DevOps teams, actually, you see the project from inception to final delivery to whoever's going to consume that software. But there's an awful lot of others who are still stuck in this, I can go so far, but then it's no longer my job role. They've tried Agile. They've tried bringing in people, all the stakeholders, putting them on the team, but actually they can't get past that barrier point. How do they break those barriers down? How do they understand that the multi-skilling is not about de-skilling people? If anything, it's improving their skills. It's making them more responsive for what they're building.
That's a great question. And essentially, it's a cultural change. The number one change that has to take place is where you place your highest and greatest value as an enterprise. If your highest value is making that consumer of the software product that you're developing or successful, and everything is secondary to that, and then you realize that they're my end user customer, we're all one team trying to make that person happy, as opposed to any particular regulation or singular department objective that has to be met, that kind of goes by the wayside. Not to say you're not compliant, because you have to be, or secure, because you have to be, or you build scalability, because you have to. It's really understanding who your customer is and aligning your organization to make that customer successful. It's a cultural change. We've done extensive agile consulting with one of the largest automotive manufacturers in the world. And they're extremely well known. They're extremely well respected. And I've met with their CIO who said, Flint, we love what you're doing for our company, but in order for us to adopt it, you have to help me understand how to change our culture here. because we just have a culture that doesn't embrace this kind of model of one team focused on one internal customer where everyone works together for the common good. It's not that they don't want to do for the common good, but they're very hierarchical. They're very structured. They're very much a, okay, this is where I begin, this is where I end, and this is where you start. So it's going through that cultural transformation, which is the hardest line on the skew called digital transformation that most companies have to get through.
What part does the size of the project have to play here? If we think about big enterprises, when they set out to write software historically, these have been 6-month, 9-month, 2-year planning. Agile works best when we're talking about short, sharp sprints, delivering something every week, every 2 weeks, fast drops from start to finish. If we look at the business units no longer expect a piece of software, particularly in a mobile sense, to last for a year. They perhaps want this versioned 2, 3, 4 times in that period, maybe even replaced within the year. Do you think big enterprises are beginning to finally get that message as mobile is beginning to really take off? Or is that still, again, one of those very easy for small companies to adopt because they know they have to be flexible and find an edge, and harder for large organizations who, again, have these really baked-in-stone processes that say software must take this long, must go through all these steps?
We have this being a U.S. citizen working in the venture capital center of the universe where innovation drives our economy. And being a big believer in free enterprise, there is this common denominator that causes us all to change called profit. I think regardless of size, and I do agree size plays a role because it's harder sometimes to change a big company than a small company. Not always, but usually that's the case. As companies are more dependent upon software to drive value for their external customers, they are forced to change their manufacturing methods to deliver that software to their customers more efficiently. If they do not, their competitors will gladly do that. So what you will also going to see as part of this digital transformation that's going on in all industries right now is there'll be CEOs and management teams that have embraced this way of thinking and methodology of how to run a business that can take a slow-growing business, transform it digitally so it becomes a fast-growing business. Can take an unprofitable business, transform it, and make it profitable. As a leader in this industry, your core competency should be to embrace this end-to-end team-oriented approach of delivering agile products that are built, controlled, and delivered as efficiently as possible with high quality, with short time to value, because that's a great way to not only add value to your career, but it's a great way to make your employer very, very successful.
We've seen quite a shift in software development over 30-odd years. We're seeing a return to some of the values of object orientation as they were espoused in the late 80s. This idea of composable environments, where it's no longer necessarily developers who are putting applications together. It can be end users who are literally taking bits and pieces, clicking them together like Lego, and pushing applications out for themselves and for their team. Do you see a need for DevOps to have a wider embrace to everybody in the organization? And if so, how do we move it outside of that IT environment to embrace anybody in the organization who might be developing a solution?
That is a great question. So I'll come back to the point that I made earlier. It's culture, your belief system. What are your values? Even here at CollabNet, so this company was founded in 1999, had a set of values that were very appropriate for 1999 that are no longer relevant for 2017. So we ourselves have to espouse values and have to drive a culture that embraces this innovative but controlled, discipline but fast-moving, focus on who is your end customer and how can I deliver high quality, low cost with short time to value, whether it's software development, whether it's an HR working with our employees, whether it's a support team that work with end user customers, whether it's our accounting folks. Every department in your company has to embrace those set of values and that culture, because if you're expecting your IT folks or your development teams to live one culture and how they execute their job, but live another culture when they walk into the kitchen and they collaborate with their teammates that are working in HR, it's just not going to work. It has to be one culture, one company. As a leadership team, you have to be fiercely committed to driving that change. And some people will easily make that transition. Some people will want to but not be sure how, through education and coaching and encouragement, will make that transition. Some people just don't want to and they're not going to. It's important as a leader for those people that will not embrace this movement to this fast-moving DevOps-oriented culture, you need to help them find a job somewhere else and populate your company with people who are believers.
Talking of culture, there's one team that tends to sit outside of everybody else, and that's the security team in an organization. We've improved the cohesion between security and developers. They're now starting to work more closely, helping to set up unit tests, helping to give them a better way to understand what the threats are so that they can improve the quality of the software. They're not really engaged with operations apart from to, again, give them lists of things to do, things that they need to be aware of. When do we start to see DevOps become DevOps-sec, with security now part of that entire process? Because until it becomes embedded in that process, it's still an add-on, it is still that weak point.
I would say probably 10% of software development organizations it has started, but it's still relatively new. But it's one of the fastest growing subcategories in our industry, and it's a great way to differentiate yourself from your competition. So we have our own DevOpsSec initiative here at CollabNet. I expect that by the end of this calendar year, it'll be fully implemented here. It's something that we brought into the company last year, and I think most software development organizations will be forced to integrate security in the development process, or they're no longer going to be competitive. It's another thing, you either embrace it and thrive, or you don't and you suffer your demise. This free enterprise will drive that change in the marketplace.
This increased cadence of software, what do you see being the next big thing we're going to see? We've got machine learning, we've got AI, we've got all these things coming along, but what's going to be the next big challenge?
We've all gone through the journey to cloud. It's not in its infancy. It's now mainstream. I think it's very ubiquitous now. We see it everywhere. I think the next change that we're going to have to embrace is the move to edge. So IoT, you're going to have computing power that's going to be distributed throughout an enterprise. It's also going to exist in your partner and customer environments that you're going to need to leverage. You're going to need to have a computing model and software that can execute simultaneously outside your own firewall. It's not going to be hybrid cloud or even what is becoming prevalent now where you've got multiple public clouds where you have an app that needs to run simultaneously. You're going to have thousands or tens of thousands of nodes in your company and outside your company you're going to be leveraging simultaneously with the software you develop. And because the cost there is going to be much lower, there's a lot of spare capacity. There are also a lot of the same things that we went through, you know, in earlier days of this industry. We learned to deal with virtualization as a way of taking the white space out of computing power. We're going to go through that same process with edge computing. And so I think that's the next big change that's going to be the transformational element in the next 2 to 3 years.
Flint, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.